today? Oh, there's my notes. Okay. That moment of panic, you know, when you get to your table and it's just like, I don't have my sermon notes. And the last thing y'all want me to do is wing it. So let me just tell you, okay? We might be here till the other church gets here. All right. We're in Luke chapter 18. All summer long, we have been going through a sermon series called He is Walking With Me. And today will be the last in that series. We're going to start something brand new shortly. And we've been looking at moments that Jesus interacted with people and finding that the people whom Jesus interacted with were not too different than us. And Jesus met a lot of people right where they were in their lives, similar to where he meets us in our lives as well. And the beautiful thing about Jesus is the fact that he's not just a Sunday thing for us. He is an everyday relationship with us. Amen? And that's what we've discovered. I want to share this message with you today. It's simply, don't let Jesus pass by. Don't let Jesus pass by. And we're in Luke chapter 18, and we're going to begin in verse 35. We're going to take a look at Jesus' interactions with a blind man and how a miracle took place. But the circumstances leading up to this miracle were very interesting. And undoubtedly, they may be similar to what some of us are going through here today. And I will ask the same question on behalf of Jesus today that Jesus asked this blind man when he said, what do you want Jesus to do for you? What do you want Jesus to do for you? And we're in Luke chapter 18. I'm going to invite you, if you're able to do so, to stand with me for the reading of God's word as we look at this together. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 35, we're going to go to verse 43. Here's what it says. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped, and he ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. Lord, we know that you're nearby today. We've sensed your presence already. So Lord, I pray that we would respond to your nearness, that we would respond to your closeness today, much the same way that the blind man responded to you. And Lord, I'm praying that we would encounter you on this day in your house as we look at your word. So have your way in every life here, and we'll thank you for all you do. And it's in Jesus' name, and we all said amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. I love this story. I really love this story because I think the blind man is actually representative of many people that we encounter, and maybe some people here in this room here today, people who are kind of on the roadside, kind of waiting for something to happen. Some people, maybe spiritually, there is a blindness there. Spiritually, there is something that is lacking in someone's life. Spiritually, there is something, or maybe even physically, that a person really needs, and they find themselves maybe in a desperate situation. And Jesus again would ask, what do you want me to do for you? And I would like for us to take a little deeper look at this story and try to encourage everyone here. And I want to remind you, don't let Jesus pass by. Don't let Jesus pass by. Let me show you what I mean. Let me give you some directions I think that we should take when Jesus is near. And how many of you are thankful today where two or three of us are gathered in his name? The Lord's right there in the midst, right? So he's near. He's here. So let me give you some instructions that may help you today. Number one, you ready? Perceive the moment. Perceive the moment. Realize that he's here. Realize that he's here. Perceive the moment. Take a look again, starting in verse 35. It says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Totally off the subject, but I'm thankful that there was somebody who told the blind man that Jesus was passing by. Students, when you're at your table this week, I pray that you would have an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus and have that initial conversation where they can find Christ as Lord and Savior. But how many of you know this is not just for the students? This is for all of us. We are surrounded by people who desperately need something, and they don't even know what they're looking for half the time. And they're sitting on the roadway of their lives, and they have this need, and they have this situation, and they have this going on, and all of a sudden, there's a ruckus. All of a sudden, there's a commotion. All of a sudden, there's something going on in life. The dust of the road is beginning to stir a little bit. And that is when the people of God need to make it known to this culture and to this world, Jesus is passing by. There's an answer for you today. It's not just noise that you're hearing. It's not just religion that you're hearing about. I want to point you to Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? That was totally free. That wasn't even in my sermon. How about that? Let's get back to the blind man. Now, other versions of the story will tell us that this was Bartimaeus. And though he was blind, he heard something. He was aware that something was going on. How many of you know sometimes our spiritual senses aren't always working the way that they should? Maybe life takes place and life has not been good. Maybe we've been dealt a hand that we particularly didn't ask for and we particularly don't like. And that can kind of, if we're not careful, or maybe because we've been around the church for so long, it can deaden our spiritual senses to the times that Jesus is moving close to us. Can I speak to the veteran Christians in the house here today? We can become so used to the things of God that we don't really recognize the presence of God anymore. It's been said that it's easy to recognize the presence of God, but sometimes it's hard to realize that it's gone. And I would pray that we would have this perception of the presence of God in everything that we do and everywhere that we go, because he's there. He's near. He's near to me. The Bible says that he will never leave me and he will never forsake me. That's why I have no fear, because Hebrews chapter 13 tells me that what can man do to me, because the Lord is with me. He will never forsake me. He will never leave me. But this man had a problem. He couldn't see. He had a desperate situation. He had a big need, not unlike many that are here today. And this is not a time for me to try to depress you or make you feel bad. Because how many of you know, in this world, we will have trouble. Amen? We will have difficulties. We will have problems. But the Lord is greater. And being, I've learned, maybe you have too, that being a follower of Jesus does not exclude me from having problems. Wow. And if somebody sold you that, you might want to get your money back, because they didn't sell you Jesus. When we serve Jesus, yes, There's going to be difficulties in life, and there's going to be problems. And sometimes there's this mentality that we shouldn't confess that we have a problem, because that's negative. And that's, honestly, stupid. We're not called to ignore our problems. In fact, I would tell you, don't ignore your problems. Because here's the deal. Jesus won't heal what you choose to hide. Jesus won't heal what you choose to hide. The scripture says that we have not because we ask not. Here's what prayer is. Because I've heard people say, well, you know, Jesus knows what I need. I don't even need to pray. Okay, I read this, and that's not what the Bible says. Prayer is this tool that God has designed for you and me to see the supernatural interact with the natural, and that's when miracles and answers take place. It's through prayer. That's what Jesus brings to us to see his will accomplished. It's prayer. How can we not use this incredible tool that Jesus has given us? Amen? If you know me, you know that I'm not the most handy of persons at all, okay? And I'm not adept at tools very well. I'm getting there, you know, in my young years now. I'm almost 60. And I'm learning that you really shouldn't hammer a nail with the big end of a screwdriver, right? Okay, there is a tool designed for that. It's called a hammer. And there is a tool that the Lord has designed to see his will accomplished, and that's prayer. That's prayer. Bartimaeus, somehow, he was able to perceive that this was his moment of mercy. He'd been brought to that road. Other portions of the scripture tells us that he was placed there at the roadside frequently, almost every day, if not every day. And so in the midst of his routine, something was different. He perceived that something was different. Today, I want you to perceive the fact that Jesus is near. This is not just an ordinary time. Tomorrow, when you wake up, I don't want you just to go through your routine thinking that Jesus is not part of it. Jesus is near. He's right there. And we need to have that awareness everywhere we go and everything that we do. Perceive this moment. Secondly, I want you to press through the noise. Press through the noise. Take a look at verses 38 through 41. He, being the blind man, called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. He shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And before we advance the next slide, I want you to realize who it was that was rebuking the blind man. It wasn't another blind man. It wasn't another sinner. Look at those who led the way. Those who were with Jesus were telling this man, "Be quiet. Jesus has more important things to do than you." Do you know what I have seen has kept a lot of people from experiencing God's best? When they have been mistreated by a person in the church who should have known better. When they've been mistreated by a person who should have been close to God but didn't act like they were. And that has changed a person's entire spiritual life. I'm not saying it's right, but church, listen to me. We've got to be careful how we treat one another. We got to be careful how we treat people who need an encounter with Jesus Christ. And to be quite honest with you, I could see why Jesus had a lot more patience with sinners than he did religious people. Religious people drove Jesus crazy. Sometimes they drive me crazy. But I love sinners. I love that rawness. I love it when people who are so distant from God, they're just trying to figure this whole thing out. And I know that my interaction with them, I think I've told stories before. Sometimes Jonathan and I will go golfing, and once in a great while we'll get paired up with somebody, which means the course is busy, and so the two of us are playing, and they'll try to match us up with maybe another two-sim or maybe a single player, kind of make it a group of four, blah, blah, blah. It's probably more than you needed to know. Inevitably, Hannah, you know this because you work at a golf course, don't you? So inevitably, I never get matched up with the Bible study leader. Oh, my word. I get matched up with the guy who's cussing after every single shot. I get matched up with the guy who wants to buy me a beer, which I do not accept. I get matched up with this guy can't even spell Jesus, and it never fails. By about hole 11 or hole 12, he'll ask me, "So what do you do?" Well, I yell at people every week. No, I don't tell them that. I'm a pastor, I say. And then they get so holy. It's just like, oh yeah, I go to that church. I thought, wow, does your pastor know by your filthy mouth? Because holy mercy. And it's really funny. And now, how many of you know that was a test for me? Right? Okay. If I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, you know, first tee, it's like, well, this is going to be a great round. You know, how many of you know that there's a way for the church to interact with a world that desperately needs Jesus Christ? I'm not saying compromise, but there's a way to be salt and light. And the last thing we need to be are the people that are supposed to be leading the way with Jesus, trying to keep somebody from Jesus. Can I continue this verse? I keep giving you free stuff. Verse 40, Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" This man, the blind man, did not let the crowd stop him. Christian, listen to me. If you've been mistreated, I'm sorry. But don't let that stop you from experiencing the best that Jesus has for you. I think it's time that we acknowledge. In fact, we don't minimize what you have felt if there is some pain in your life that way. But again, as I say it all the time, I refuse to minimize it and I refuse to maximize it. Because I don't think that is enough to keep us from God's best. And someone is always... Anytime you do something for the Lord, someone's going to have an opinion on it. They will, and it's not always good. And not every Christian is going to have your best interest in mind. It's true. Students, that's why the first Christian that shows interest in you and burps in your face may not be the one for you, okay? Just because someone's a Christian doesn't mean that they have it all together. I've noticed that Christians have issues. How about you? I was almost going to say turn to your neighbor and say you've got issues, but that'd be bad. But look at this. When you're desperate for Jesus, you can't let the crowd kill your cry. You can't let the crowd kill your cry. The person who tells you that you're not praying correctly, don't let the crowd kill your cry. The person that just tells you to give up, don't let the crowd kill your cry. The person who tries to say that, well, if you only had enough faith, you'd be able to see your answer. Don't let the crowd kill your cry. Don't let the crowd kill your cry. The person that tells you to be quiet, don't let the crowd kill your cry. Don't let other voices keep you from crying out to Jesus. Jesus, okay, this is Luke 18. We're ending this gospel here. Jesus is on his way to die. How many of you know Jesus had a lot on his mind here, right? And yet, it was the cry of one man who caused him to stop. Never think that you're too small to be heard by Jesus. Never think you're not important enough to be heard by Jesus. Never think that you haven't been saved long enough to be heard by Jesus. Never think that you're not spiritual enough to be heard by Jesus. The moment you cry out to God is the moment that you have his attention. Jesus stopped right in the midst of the crowd and did the unpopular thing by addressing the man on the roadway. You cry out to Jesus, he has your attention. He will listen. He will hear you. I don't know who needs to hear this. You are important to Jesus. You are important to Jesus. Thirdly, plead in faith. Plead in faith. Plead in faith. Let's go back to verse 41, and we'll go to verse 43. Verse 41, here's Jesus. He says, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus. Now, did you catch that verse? It was the man's faith in Jesus that caused him to receive his sight. No ritual, no special service, no pomp and circumstance. We don't even hear that Jesus laid a hand on the man. He just spoke it, and the man's sight was restored. All because the man was specific with Jesus in his prayer. You know what I appreciate about Bartimaeus? He didn't say, you know what, I got a lot of need. Just kind of say a blanket prayer over me, Jesus. That'll be good. He was detailed. He said, I want to see. Let that be an encouragement today. Do not hesitate to be specific with Jesus in your prayers. Tell him. And you know what? However you're feeling towards Jesus, tell him. Again, he can handle you. Jesus, I don't want to offend you. And he's like, you won't. Okay, I was crucified. I'm good. If you're hurting, tell him. If you don't understand things, tell him. Be specific. I need this, Lord. Tell him. And it was the man's faith. Not because the man got involved in some kind of ministry first. Not because the man gave in the offering first. Not because he did this first. All he did was cry out to the Lord. And that faith that he had in whom he called the Son of David, which I found pretty amazing, by the way. That's like a term for the Messiah. Amazingly, this blind man who could not see Jesus knew who Jesus was. I'm looking at a lot of people that you know who Jesus is. And maybe you just want to acknowledge him and say, you know what, Lord, I know you're the healer. Would you please heal this? Lord, I know that you can restore because I've seen you do it before. Lord, would you restore this relationship that was so important to me? Lord, I know that you calmed the storm, but Lord, would you give me peace in the middle of my storm? These are the specific prayers that the Lord will hear. And I believe that trust in him and that faith in him will activate heaven's power on your behalf. Amen. One word from Jesus, one phrase from Jesus, and a life was completely changed. Amen. Jesus can speak into our situations and our life can be completely changed. It's amazing what the Lord can do if we don't let him pass by. My final direction for you today. It's how this verse ended. And one would be tempted, because we're so caught up in the miracle, it'd be tempted to skip over this. But I would encourage you to praise him openly. To praise him openly. Now, where do I get that? Look at verse 43 again. It says, "What do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see," he said. And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight. Now, look at the second half now of verse 43. And here's what it says. Immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus, praising God. Everybody say, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. Did you catch that? His transformation became a testimony. His transformation became a testimony. I speak to the people here today. You've had God do something for you. Did you actually think it was just about you? It wasn't. Never has been. Never has been. And again, American Christianity has become so self-centered sometimes that we're like, it's all about me and get my blessing and get my answer and getting this. And we all of a sudden think that Jesus is he's Santa Claus. And Jesus is not just about making you feel better. But there's more to the miracle. There's always more to the miracle. Your transformation and your answer can become and should become a testimony to the people that are around you. Amen. See, so get this. The same people that were rebuking the man were now praising God because of what Jesus did for the blind man. Not all of you are catching this. What God does in you can actually build up somebody else's faith as well. And see, so the man is praising Jesus, and as a parent, he's praising Jesus. And then the other people see what's going on, and they start praising Jesus. And then the scripture says, don't miss this, he received his sight and he also followed Jesus. Do you know what annoys me? Well, a lot of things annoy me, I must tell you. Ask my family. I have issues. But I get so discouraged. I shouldn't say annoyed, but I get discouraged when the Lord will answer a prayer, even perform a miracle, and that person kind of walks away from God right after that. And we're all close to him while we needed him. And then we got our answer and we're like, okay, finger guns. Catch you at the next crisis. And then we kind of distance ourselves a little bit. And that's not what this is all about. See, when the man received his answer, immediately he started following Jesus. And this transformation, this touch that Jesus gave, did not cause the man to walk away from Jesus. He walked with Jesus. Hear me. If God's touched you, you need to walk as close as you can to Jesus from then on out. That's He didn't just touch you to try to connect with you next Easter. He touched you. He touched you so that you would have a relationship with Him every single day. The man went from the roadway to following Jesus. How many of you know he hadn't even figured it all out yet? All he knows is being blind and begging and sitting at the roadside. Now he's a disciple of Jesus. He didn't have a theology degree. He didn't have a YouTube channel, although I'm sure he would have got one by now. But instead, he just followed Jesus. Jesus, I thank you for touching me, but I don't want it to end there. I want to follow you, and I want the transformation that you've done in me to be a testimony to all the people that are around me. That when people see the guy who used to sit at the roadside begging, when they see me seeing and following you, may they spiritually see and begin to follow you as well. Folks, your touch is not about you. It's about the people around you. It's about the people around you. Jonathan, if you could help me. Here's what I want you to know. Jesus is passing by today. And a lot of us, we got a lot of noise going on. We got a lot. When we wake up tomorrow, noise, chaos, work, school, life, family, everything, cats, dogs, cars, planes, trains, automobiles, lions, tigers, bears, oh my, you know, all of it, just name it, okay? Whatever that is for you. But in the midst of all the noise, Jesus is passing by. Don't let them pass you. Don't let them pass you by. Call out to them. Cry out to them. And even if somebody discourages you from doing so, you call out to him. And I got to believe that the creator of the entire universe, in the midst of all that's going on in this earth of ours, that it will cause him to pause, to look your way, and ask you the same question: what do you want me to do for you? And that is the moment for you to say, Lord, this is what I need. Put your faith in Jesus. That answer comes. That miracle takes place. That hope takes place in your life. That's just not another mile marker in your spiritual life. That's a moment for you to walk closer to him. No matter where you're at spiritually, that's a moment to get closer to him. And to let other people know, I once was blind, but now I see. I once was addicted, but now I'm free. I once was this, but now I'm that. I once was experiencing this, but I'm not anymore because Jesus has made a change in my life. He's done this for me. And who knows? Who knows the life that you could change just by walking closer to the Lord? Would you stand with me, all of us, today? Jesus is passing by. Will you cry out to him? Will you cry out to him? I want to give you an opportunity to do so today. I want to give you an opportunity to say, Lord, this is what I need from you. Lord, this is all that I need. Be specific with him. He'll take that. And let him begin a miracle in your life, starting today. But again, remind yourself, your asking this is not about you. It's also about those around you. So Lord, don't just answer my prayer, but touch other people through this answer as well. So I'm going to give you a chance to pray. I'm going to give you a chance to cry out to the Lord from the side of the road that you might find yourself in today. And let the Lord touch your life today. When he's done with you and you're done with him this morning, you can consider yourself dismissed, but we're going to make this a place where we can all pray and just seek the Lord. And let's just call out to him today. Let's see what Jesus does. Amen. Lord, you're passing by. You're in this place. We cry out to you today. And we ask you, Lord God, that you would not only hear our cry, but answer us. So, Lord, I pray for a moment with you this morning. I pray, Lord God, that you would touch your people today. And God, no matter what you do, Lord, may we follow you closer than we did when we woke up this morning. And God, I ask you that many would see the goodness of the Lord and put their faith in you because of what you've done in me and through me. And Lord, we'll thank you. Hear our prayers now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to pray, feel free to do so at this altar or maybe somewhere in this room.